Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's just lovely to break into the buzz and to hear everyone's chatter before the service. You're very, very welcome to our Harvest Thanksgiving service this morning, including those who may be worshipping with us in solid ground and to those who may be visiting with us as well. And I do know we have a GB company from Hilltown and Clonduff with us, so you're very welcome. I hope you enjoy worshipping with us and that God will bless us as we give thanks to him for his bountiful harvest today. As usual, tea and coffee is served after the service in the Solid Ground Cafe, and everyone is welcome to go around for that. I have a few announcements I just would like to run through. First of all, I would like to remind everybody about our evening service tonight, our Harvest Thanksgiving service, which is what we normally do on a Harvest Sunday. We have an evening service, and tonight it will be in Clochy at 6:30 p.m. And there will be supper served after that service as well. I'd also like to say a big thank you to everyone who helped to decorate the churches, both here in Gray Abbey and in Clochy, to all those who gave produce, to the organisations who did windows and other areas around the church and in the halls, and also to all those folks who pulled it all together and filled in the little gaps and so on. Big thank you, folks, to all that you did. And it looks lovely. And I would encourage folks at the end of the service to take time to have a look around at the various windows and so on as well. I'd also want to say thank you to all those who helped with our harvest hoedown last night. It was a great night. I want to say thank you to John and Joan Cranston for the use of their facilities, to our events team for putting it together, and for those who helped with the catering and made it such a great night. And I think the dancing was quite good as well, so thank you, folks. Just remind everybody, this is the last Sunday for the moderator's appeal, and if you remember, this is for the crisis in Indonesia. And there's a box in the festival for any donations. And also today, we normally do a special harvest collection, and that is for missions both locally and globally. And we use that during the year to help other folks who may need help in that way. So I would encourage you to give to that if you're as led by God, and to use the envelope if you have it, your special harvest envelope, in the pack. A couple of other things I just want to remind folks and have been asked to announce. Life Explored course continues tomorrow evening. If this is week three, but if you haven't been there yet, that's fine. Come along and join in just where they're at. It's easy to pick up. I've also been asked to mention that we do plan to run a membership course again for Trinity. If you're thinking about joining our congregation, the course will run between now and communion in November. And if you're considering that, do have a word with Neil. Also, K4C are having their Halloween party on Saturday, and the folks are asked to return their consent forms as soon as possible to any leader. And just finally, there's a prayer letter from Kelsey. If you remember, Kelsey serving in the Philippines with Wycliffe, and there are prayer letters both in the vestibule and welcome area. She does send them by email, and if you would like to be added to that list, then please say Laura, her sister, after the service. Okay, I think that's all of the announcements. We come now to worship our Heavenly Father, and I've chosen a verse from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, which was God's promise after the flood, which says, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Okay. Let us pray. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Lord, in this October Sunday morning, it is with great joy to meet us as a church family to worship you, our faithful and loving God. Today, Lord, we give you all of our gratitude and thanks for your bountiful harvest. We only have to look around us to see your unending creativity through your creation, its beauty and the wonder of nature. Therefore, it's fitting that today we take time to acknowledge your faithfulness and thank you for your unfailing promise of a seed time and harvest. Lord, we are so thankful that you are sovereign over all, the only real God of this earth and us. Lord, we also thank you that you're a God of compassion, who is slow to anger and abounding in love. But yet, Lord, we come to you with a sense of sorrow for the wrongs we have done. Lord, deep down, we know there is no hiding place from you, as you know everything about us. Yet, Lord, we so often do things that are sinful and hurtful to you. So just now, in the moments of silence, we come individually to confess our wrongs to you. Lord, create in us clean hearts, and thank you for the wonderful gift of forgiveness through the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, O Lord. Lord, as we worship you this morning, help us to discern your living presence and receive a blessing from you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that as a church family we may wholeheartedly celebrate your goodness to each of us with a thankful spirit. Be with Neil as he brings us your harvest message. Speak to us, granting us ears to hear and a desire to apply your word in a real way to our hearts and lives. Help our response to be fitting in your sight and a true reflection of your faithfulness to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Let us read now from God's word. Today's passage is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. And that is on page 1041 of the Pew Bibles. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you that have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would be repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And for Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And I trust that God will bless this reading to us. Amen.
Folks, you're all very welcome. I just want to add my word of welcome to what Leonard's already said, and my word of thanks to everyone who has decorated. I want to correct the announcement sheet. In the world of political correctness, it says thank you to all the ladies. And I want to add gentlemen who helped decorate the church. So for the sense of fairness, let's include everyone. But folks, it does look lovely. Please take time to look around and see what people have done. It reflects their ministries and what God is doing in the place. We're going to continue to worship God now together as we give of our tithes and our offerings. So your offerings will now be received. By your blessing today, we're reminded of it so vividly, so plainly and clearly, of the ways that you bless us with food, with the clothes on our back, with the homes that we come from, with the food that we will eat today, Lord. And we know we are so blessed. And we pray, Lord, that others would be blessed physically, materialistically, but most importantly, spiritually, because of our offering today, Lord. So we pray you would take it, bless it, use it in your harvest field for your kingdom's glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that I want to start with this morning is, what is harvest for? What is it really, really for? I think we've lost some of the purpose for which we celebrate harvest. Remember, harvest. I mean, harvesting, farming, agriculture was probably, I haven't counted it, but it was probably Jesus' number one illustrative tool for communicating the truth of the gospel, the kingdom of God here on earth. He pointed to so many different things around people, and I think back then days were different. People were surrounded by agriculture. Probably the majority of people were growing stuff themselves, not just a little bit of hobby growing and a polytunnel at the back of their house, but growing to feed themselves. And if they weren't doing it themselves, they had servants doing it for them. But as they walked around, they would have seen gardens and fields everywhere, covered with produce at different times of the year. And today we harvest when we go to the shop and we lift it off the shelf. We harvest today as we order our groceries on our phones and wait for the lorry driver, the van driver to come and carry them into the kitchen for us. You know, we've lost this real sense of, I mean, I've watched some programs and there's children in this world that don't know that milk comes from a cow. Milk comes out of a bottle. They just don't know. We've lost this connection to agriculture. And of course, here in the peninsula where there's lots of farmer communities, we maybe don't understand that. But the world has lost touch with agriculture. And that's maybe part of the reason why we've lost touch with the real meaning, the real purpose for harvest. We're surrounded today by a material harvest. And that is God, simply God's provision for us. God provides nourishment. He provides sustenance so that we can live. And God's people are commanded in the scriptures to remember the harvest, to remember what God has done. Exodus 23, verse 16. I celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the feast of in-gathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. God's people are to be thankful for the food on their plate. And what I wanted to do, just we don't usually ask questions at the start of the sermon. We usually say a lot of things and then we ask a question later on. But I want to ask you the question, how often do you thank God for the food on your plate? Is it only whenever the minister's there? Or there's a minister there to pray because the minister's the only person who could possibly pray a prayer of thanks for food? Is it only on special occasions? Is somehow the food on a Sunday or at Christmas more important than what you eat on a Wednesday in the middle of October? How often do you thank God for the food that you might not know how it got there at all. Some of you men don't even know what happens to it before the plate. Never mind the harvesting, the cooking and everything, you've no clue. But it's on the plate in front of you before you start stuffing it into your face. How often do you just simply say, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Simple. Thanking God. God's people are to be thankful and mindful for the food that they have received from God. But we're also to be mindful, not just about the food that we've received, but what we do with it, how we distribute it around the world, how we consume it ourselves. We know that Jesus, as he was walking around, had a real heart for people and had compassion for them when they were hungry. Matthew chapters 14 and 15, Jesus feeds the 5,000 and then the 4,000. Two different stories. Jesus had compassion on them to heal them. He had compassion on them because they were hungry, and he miraculously gave them food. Now that story actually causes some people today to say, well, where's that compassion at now? Where's Jesus sitting on his throne in heaven looking down at this world with all these hungry children? Where's Jesus when all these children are dying with hunger? And you know, the answer is this, folks. This world produces more than enough calories for every single living being on this planet. Every single being on this planet, there's enough calories for every one of them. So why are people hungry? Because we're not distributing it. We're not sharing it. We're not ensuring that those who are hungry are getting food to eat. As we sit here now, people are starving with hunger. And God has blessed this world with a large enough material harvest to feed everyone. This should be really important for those of us in the room who know and love Jesus as Savior. Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back and all nations are going to be gathered. He's going to take sheep and goats. The sheep are his people. The goats are not his people. And he's going to say a number of things. And one of those things he's going to say is, when I was hungry, you fed me. And they'll say, well, when? The story in Matthew 25, well, when did we see you, Lord, hungry, and when did we feed you? He says, when you fed the least of these brothers of mine, you fed me. And we're not just simply to have concern about hunger in the world. We're to be proactively feeding people. We should also be concerned about the waste of food. We buy far too much food. We buy food that sits in the fridge or in the cupboards until it goes out of date, and then we throw it out. Never used it. Tons of it we do. Tons of it. In our own constituency here, Arden North Down, there are tons of food every year. Unused. Not the waste. Not the stuff that you put in the plate that you didn't eat and scraped into the brown bin. Wasting so much food. We get caught up in the buy two and get one free. Do you know what that's about? To get you to spend more money, to get you to think, oh, I'm getting a deal. So you buy two, eat one, throw the other one out. We've got to be careful about the blessing that God has given us. Harvest is for sharing. Harvest is ensuring that no one in the world should be hungry. But there's another way that we waste food. And at this point, I want to sort of pause the sermon, because there's a real sense of irony which will come from the next part of the sermon. And I want to just say one or two other things, okay? So everybody who gets up into a pulpit or to a lectern to preach a sermon has a real sense of hypocrisy. I mean, who am I? I remember the second sermon. I went to the minister and I said, here, boy, I can't do this. What the needs it am I to be standing up telling people things from the Bible? But it's like those speakers. Those speakers do not produce the sound. The instruments and the voices into the microphones, they produce the sound. The speakers just put it into the building. So preachers are just like the speakers. But we're taking the word of God, which is perfect, and it's coming out through us in an imperfect way. But then the thing that we learn as preachers, the first person to hear this sermon is the preacher. Maybe to themselves as they're practicing it in their study or in their living room or whatever way they do it. So then whenever God brings passages to the preacher goes, how am I supposed to stand up and say that on Sunday morning? Because we waste too much food by eating more than we need. And now you know the sense of irony, don't you? For those of you who are visiting with us today, I have a reputation for liking a lot of grub. And I eat far more than I need, especially biscuits. But God has really spoken to me, and I want to share this with you today. Proverbs 23, 19 to 21. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join with those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. You know, we tend to look at someone who's drunk and go, look at this state of that getting drunk. That's ridiculous. How many times have you finished a meal and went, oh, I can't move? How many times have you got to the end of the second course and you've went, oh, I'm stuffed? Would sir like to see the sweet menu? Yes. Well, you see the same eyes that we look at someone who is drunk. When we do that, God looks at us with exactly the same eyes. We make too much. We throw too much out. We eat more than we need. And it's a sin. And I know it's difficult in our culture here. Food is such a big thing for us. It's how we have fellowship. We have fellowship over food. But what is it with this mentality? Four people live in your house. Four people are coming to visit. Cook for 12. It doesn't make sense. I heard somebody saying it's true there. I heard that whisper. And what happens at the end of it? You know, there'll be a green bin. Bunged. Make too much. People are dying of starvation today. I think we should be serious about the harvest and about what it means. It's an opportunity for us to pause and think in the big picture about what God has given us, to remind ourselves that we should be thankful continually for the food on our plates. And it gives us time to remember our duty to distribute and not waste, not be gluttons. But that's only one reason for the harvest. Jesus uses agriculture and the harvest to illustrate the kingdom of God, kingdom principles, to communicate the truths of the kingdom to people here on earth. Jesus, throughout the scriptures, uses seed to represent the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He describes people who follow Jesus as seed as well. He talks about different types of soil, different types of people who the seed gets sown into. He talks about then how that takes a root and a plant or something grows out of that good soil and produces fruit. Fruit production is a sure sign that we are a seed planted in good soil. We are part of the kingdom. The fruit we produce is our activity in the kingdom. We are being useful and productive in the kingdom. Jesus talks about wheat and weeds. We're going to look at that in a moment or two. He talks about a fire and he talks about a barn. All to help us understand kingdom principles. And here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus uses the harvest field to represent this world in which we live. This fallen, sinful world in which we live. Fallen and sinful, but not without hope. And Jesus takes his disciples and he instructs them to go out, to go ahead of him in verse 1, to prepare the ground, as it were, to go and prepare people for his arrival, to go into every town and village where he is about to go, not just willy-nilly, but where he is about to go, to bring salvation to the lost. That's what Jesus wants to do. These disciples are going out, beginning conversations, preparing people to meet Jesus, preparing them to hear the gospel and be saved. Jesus calls these disciples workers. He sends the workers into the harvest field. Today, workers are people who are what Jesus would say, good soil, that have had the seed of the gospel planted in them, where it's taken root and it's growing and it's bearing fruit. People who are thankful for the salvation that they've received every day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. People who know what Christ has done for them. Know that Christ went to the cross for their sins. And that compels them then to go and serve. To be workers in the field. Now I'm sure in this congregation that most of us will understand what a worker, or some of your Bibles might say a laborer. Like I know from the building site, a laborer is a hard worker. That's a hard-working job. A farm laborer is a hard-working job. Someone who labors in a factory is a hard-working job. It's not sitting around twiddling your thumbs, reading the newspaper. It's a job where you have to work hard. But laborers, workers in the harvest fields are people who have a desire to be involved in distributing salvation. They've been given this great gift and the ability then to share it with other people. Not holding on to it selfishly, not just sitting saying, oh, well, I'm saved, so I'm all right. These are people who are heartbroken when they meet someone who is not saved. These are people who look at someone who is unsaved the same way we look at the people on the TV whenever it's comic relief, when we see those people, mostly in Africa, who are starving because they've no food, and we nearly weep at those pictures on the TV. Workers in the harvest field weep when they know that someone is living without Jesus. These are workers, laborers, who are involved in helping people realize that they are sinful. To realize we're living in that sin ends up the destiny. But then to tell them about the Savior, the good news. These are people who want to go ahead of Jesus. Talk to people. Not just sitting getting theologically fat. Theological gluttons. Sitting at services of worship, consuming sermons, listening to sermons online, listening to Bible readings, reading the Bible every day, going to Bible studies, going to prayer, but then not going out into the harvest field and doing anything with it. Theological fatties. We need to be theologically active because Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's plenty for us to be getting on with out there. There are people who need to hear the gospel. They need that gospel seed sown in their life. These workers, these laborers, they seek opportunities. They want to take the best of every opportunity, wherever that is, whether it's school or work or in your retirement, wherever the Lord would take you. And they don't just sit around waiting for opportunities to come. In the morning, for workers and the laborers on the Lord's harvest field, should start with this prayer. Lord, where do you want me to go ahead of you today? Who do you have in my path that I can share the good news of the gospel with in some way? That's the prayer of the laborers in the harvest field. And those laborers in those harvest fields, those people who pray those prayers, who go out into those situations, know that the harvest field is difficult. It is challenging work. There's a mixture of responses here in the passage. There's a welcome and there's a rejection. But we go out into the harvest field with this great promise. The promise of Jesus. Surely I am with you always. Fellow worker, fellow laborer, wherever God sends you, wherever Jesus wants you to go ahead of him, he goes with you. All the way. And Jesus is clear in this passage about our reaction to the responses we receive. Verses 5 to 9 there, it talks about being welcomed in a house or being welcomed in a particular town. You're to go in and accept that hospitality. You're to heal the sick, they were told, and to tell them about the kingdom. Well, what does that look like today? Well, we're going to go and speak to people and see if we can get along with them, start talking with them, find areas of commonality and speak to them and let them know very soon who we are and what we are. Draw alongside them, help them, show them love and compassion. And tell them about Jesus. That's what that means. If somebody wants to hear about Jesus, then talk about Jesus. But of course, there were people who did not welcome the message. Jesus says, wipe the dust of your feet. That is to say, they were saying to the people of those villages, we're not going to contaminate the road or another village with even the very dust of this town of yours. Wipe the dust of your feet. As we go out into the harvest field, there's just simply some people who are not ready to hear the gospel. They're not ready to hear it from us. We are not the seed sower that they need at that particular time. And we are to walk away. And that is challenging. To meet someone, to have compassion, to know that they're not saved, to know where they're going, but to know that you can't do anything about it, to know that you have to just walk away. But God is in control. God will send you to someone that you can connect with. He will bring someone else into that person's path. See, we want every conversation to end in salvation, don't we? Are you saved? No. Here's a tract. Pray. Job done. Box ticked. That's the Northern Ireland way, isn't it? It's not God's way. It's not God's way. We've got to be careful with the gospel too. Jesus says, don't throw your pearls before swine. Don't give someone the opportunity to downtrod the word of God, to say negative things about Jesus. That does not do the kingdom any good. It does not bring glory to God. So if someone is negative, we just walk away from them. It's about going out and going where Jesus wants us to go. It's his harvest field. He knows everyone in it. He knows where he needs us to go. He knows you better than you know yourself. So we must follow his leading to engage people with the gospel in meaningful ways. And folks, we should be engaging the lost with the gospel in meaningful ways. Because Jesus also used the harvest to represent the end of time. I don't know if any of you has noticed, but driving out to Ballywalter, just past the end of the estate wall, Ronald Walker's house sits up on the hill on the right-hand side. Most of you know it. Imagine it. Picture it. Nice big house sitting up on the hill, all right? And the front field, big hill up the field, was a big field of barley. Did anybody see that big field of barley? Did you ever drive past when the wind was just washing across it there? Lovely. Just beautiful. Just washing across. And you see the barley waving in the field. It was beautiful. Then one day I drove up and there was nothing but a stubble field left. Gone. The barley was harvested. Not a thing left but wee spiky bits sticking out of the ground. Anything of any use was wiped, cleaned off the field. The world is going to be laid bare, folks. The world is going to be laid bare. I want to invite you to turn with me now to Matthew's Gospel. I think it's page 890 in the Pew Bible. Here Jesus is talking in a parable. In 13 he's talking about different parables, all to do with agriculture. He talks, there's a parable of the sower. There's a parable of the weeds and the wheat. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a field, and there was good seed and bad seed sown in it, so the wheat and the weeds have grown together. Okay? And the farmer and the laborers, they want to pull the weeds out. He said, no. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn. The world will be laid bare. Weed and wheats taken off the field. Then over in verse 38, Jesus then explains the parable of the weed and the wheats. The field is the world. Well, we've established that this morning from the other passage. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus' explanation of this harvest time is quite clear. There's a fire and there's a barn. And back in the passage in Luke's Gospel, in verse 12, it says, woe to certain towns. And that's not to say, woe, howl on, or woe, slow down. This word woe means disaster, calamity. Some of your Bibles might say, what sorrow awaits you at that harvest? You will go down to the depths. This will be unbearable. Let us be clear what Jesus is saying here. In verse 16 of Luke 10, he says, he who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Do not reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one way that is going to end for you. But there's another way that it can end. And we get that down in verse 20. We didn't read it, but look at verse 20. The 72 have gone out. They've done what Jesus has asked of them. They have driven out demons. They've talked to people and they've come back and they're buoyed up. They're all full of it. Yes, oh Lord, Jesus, this was amazing. We were going out and things were happening. It was so cool. It was lethal. Jesus says, look, just calm down. That's great. That is wonderful. But you want to know the most important thing? The thing that you should really rejoice in? The fact that your name is written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven this morning? Are you one of the Lord's workers? What a thought that is, folks. What it is to know that Jesus has died for you to ensure that you will be in the barn when time is over. To ensure that you do not wander aimlessly through this world alone, that he is with you always. What a joy it is to know that he wants you to take the gospel seed, the good news of Jesus, and share it with other people. So that they too would know the joy that we know of having our names written in heaven and the assurance that that gives us. If you do not have that joy this morning, I pray that you would listen to Jesus speaking. The words of Jesus, listen to him. Do not reject the words of Jesus. To reject the words of Jesus is to reject God, is to reject the place in heaven. Listen, accept Jesus as your Savior today. And my prayer for the workers, for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, let's get out into that harvest field. Let us bust a gut until Jesus Christ returns. Let us work with the sweat of our brow till our backs are breaking, taking this good news to people who need it, to people who are starving to death for want of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. What's the harvest for? To waken us up to the world around us. And to assure us of what God is doing in it and our part of it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word. Unchanging for thousands and thousands of years, Lord, since it was written. And yet, Lord, we may not fully understand the type of world that you lived in, that Jesus walked in. But Lord, we can understand the truths because they are timeless. So help us, Lord, today to apply these truths to our hearts so that your kingdom would be glorified in this world around us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us come before the Lord in our prayers of intercession. At this harvest time, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, creator of all that is seen and unseen, of all that we can understand and all that is yet to be revealed, you've placed us in a universe with breathtaking splendor and with an ability to constantly surprise and amaze us. And so hear us as we humbly come before you to seek your help and your guidance in our lives. We come to you in simple trust and as Jesus taught us in the certain knowledge that you are our Heavenly Father and will listen to the prayers of we, your children. At this special Thanksgiving time of the year, we pray for all who work so that we can have food to eat and to share. Lord, bless all those who labour to satisfy our needs, and we pray that all trade between peoples may be done openly and fairly, and with due regard for the environment and for human dignity. We pray now for areas of the world where hatred, wars, and natural disasters, particularly in Pakistan and Indonesia, these things have created such tragic circumstances. We give thanks for the generosity of those who have responded to the moderator's appeal. May all hear and respond to the words of Jesus, who spoke of peacemakers being blessed and of treating our neighbours as ourselves. We pray for this, our own country, and for all in authority, that they will govern wisely and with due regard for the needs of all people. We pray for all families represented here today. Each one is made up differently and faces the normal ups and downs of family life in many different ways. We're especially mindful of families who are deeply affected by the current economic situation, where there's unemployment or fear for the future. We pray that each family finds a place in it for the love of Jesus Christ, that special peace which it brings. And Lord, we pray this morning for the sick, both at home and in hospital or in hospices. We think of the elderly, the housebound, and those in care homes. And we pray for all who minister to their needs, in particular the medical staff, the carers, the family members, and those responsible for their pastoral care. Lord, this morning we especially pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, whether it's been recently, maybe a long time ago. May your grace comfort and sustain them at this time. And Lord, at the conclusion of our prayers of intercession, we say, God of the harvest, we thank you and praise your name for your creating, loving power. Give us insight to see your hand at work in our lives and enable us to taste the goodness which comes from knowing you in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Wings carry us from this place today. Will your grace, your mercy, your peace, and your love rest and remain on each of us, both now until that last harvest day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.